Ladies and gentlemen, these are the outro bumpers that I've just recorded for episode 3 of Underwood and Flinch Legion. I've recorded them, I've added them to the podcast, and I'm making this little podcast, which features them, just for those people who have listened to the episode already and don't want to listen to the whole thing all over again in order to hear my little bit of chit-chat at the end. Indeed, many of you may not want to listen to this at all, in which case you're not listening. But for those of you who do want to hear those outro bumpers without listening to the whole thing again, they are here. In fact, here they come now. Which is an excellent reason for visiting it, isn't it? So there it was, ladies and gentlemen, Underwood and Flinch Legion Episode 3, and I hope you enjoyed it. Although, I have to say, I really kind of dreaded writing it. I really didn't want to do it. Why? Well, because it's history, isn't it? I might get things wrong. And indeed, maybe I have got stuff wrong. I don't know. I do my research as best I can, but, you know, I could really do with a ride-along with a Virginian history lecturer, or better yet, several, and preferably in Virginia. But I can't do that, especially, you know, not in these COVID times. Not like I can jump on a plane, go to Virginia and you know, speak to lecturers left, right and centre. Not that I probably could anyway. I mean, who the hell am I? No one. But anyway, sorry, my story cares not for what I can and can't do. This episode and those that follow it must come now in the timeline of things. I can't move forward to the next contemporary phase of the saga with Underwood and Verlaine until I've established what happened with them in the past and how they came to be what they are now. Believe me, I'd love to just skip to it and move on, but I can't. And the whole historical accuracy thing, you know, that was really bugging me. It was really getting in the way, you know, the anxiety of getting stuff wrong. You know what it's like when a TV series or a movie gets the historical accuracy check done by some, you know, other TV thing, even if it's just a YouTube thing, and they get some history guy sitting there in a corduroy jacket smoking a pipe and saying, yes, yes, well, all that stuff is absolute bollocks. It wasn't like that. The writer is a complete idiot. And then he and other history people hold up a picture of the writer and point and laugh at it, you know, the way that happens. Well, at least it does in my mind when I envisage what will happen when they come to discuss this story one day when it's a made-for-TV. That can be kind of paralysing, you know. And I was, in fact, kind of paralysed by it. Blocked, to use a writing term. And do you know how I got over it? How I managed to get this chapter written? I said, fuck it, I'll try to be historically accurate when I can. But if I can't find something out, I'll just have to make it up. And if I find out that the way things really were conflicts with the way that I need them to be in my story, then I'll just change stuff. Because, hello, Earth to Mike, this is fiction. You're writing a story about vampires, about a present-day reality that doesn't exist because it's completely impossible. It's not a history book. It's a novel, a fantasy. And if History Guy and his pals start pointing out that this and that isn't real and stuff wasn't actually like that, well, I'll just go, ha ha ha, History Guy, well, the joke's on you, because vampires aren't real either, so there. So yes, basically what I'm saying is, I just said, you know, forget about it, write what you want, be accurate when you can, and make it up when you can't, because some things are just really hard to find out, you know? Like, you can read up about slavery and indentured servitude, but what the protocols were, you know, in 1719 precisely, is hard to pin down. Like, for example, did slave markets keep records of the indentured servants that they sold? I don't know. I can't find that out. But here's the thing. Whether they did or they didn't, I need it to have been the case, because if it wasn't the case, then there is no way in a million years, I think, that Underwood would have ever been able to find Martha. And I kind of have him reference that, you know, in a roundabout way in the chapter, as you just heard. You know, he's under no illusions that he was damn lucky to find her, and neither am I. But saying that, it seems logical to me that, you know, the people who sold indentured servants would keep some sort of record. I mean, if people had to serve out a term of servitude as a penance for a crime they'd committed back in England, someone surely needs to be keeping records of who is sold to whom and when. Otherwise, you know, the person who buys the indentured servant could have kept them forever. Those records, you know, I figured, but I don't know, would have been with the merchants that sold them and probably logged in local government buildings too. I considered having my characters, you know, pursue that line of things, you know, local government. But I thought it was more likely that they could bribe someone who, you know, who actually sort of markets in humans than a government official. But who knows? You know, maybe Matthias and Maru kind of also went around to local government buildings. I didn't ask Underwood, and he didn't tell me. So I guess what I'm trying to say here is don't take everything that I'm saying here or Underwood is saying in these chapters as 100% historically accurate, because, you know, it's not. Sometimes I'm just having to take poetic license, either because I plain don't know the facts or because the facts just don't suit the story and have to be bent. And once I'd reminded myself of this, once I'd given myself permission to do what I wanted, to just make stuff up, I was okay again. I was able to write this chapter, and I will be able to write the remainder of the story set in 1719 and beyond, because it's my book, my world, and my version of history. Yes, indeed. Well, that's all we have time for this time in Underwood and Flinch, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you've enjoyed it and that you will stay subscribed for more. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your patronage. But from me for now, until the moon rises again over Underwood and Flinch, farewell.